Okay, April 4th, and I am calling the Ramada Riders Advisory Council meeting to order at 6:37 PM. The first thing on our agenda is the public comment period. Do we have anyone from the public that has any comments for the round today?
We have two. The first person up is Kurt Rashke.
Okay, please come forward and speak at the microphone there. You're representing the microphone, please.
Hi, thank you, John, for that introduction. My name is Kurt Rashke, some of you know me already. I'm really heartened to see that the RAC has finally decided that its relationship with Ramada is asymmetrical. And I'm really glad to see that you've decided that you want to hold the agency accountable to the riding public. The problem is, one of your council members tried to do that a year ago. He tried to do that 6 months ago. He tried to do that with the support of the RAC. And he failed miserably. You laughed about him after he left. You made unprofessional remarks about what he was trying to do, which was very simply to hold the agency accountable. So I'm glad to see that you are trying now to reduce the asymmetry in your relationship with the agency. But I'm still skeptical. You must hold the agency accountable, even if that means asking deep, incisive questions, questions that they do not want to answer, even if that means asking for large volumes of data and analyzing it yourself. If you don't have the capacity to analyze that data, I can assure you that there are plenty of people. You must do these things. If you do not want to be anything less than a glorified focus group, you must do these things. Thank you.
Thanks for your comments.
The next person we have up is Linda Lee.
Linda Lee, I'm the visual chair of the board, please. My main concern right now is yesterday afternoon, I was on the D8, the left Union Station. There was a switch over between drivers. Our driver came back late. And accidents started on the route. There were like three different people who tried to come on the bus with grocery carts full of groceries. And he told each one of them that they had to hold the grocery cart up before they could get on the bus. Now, these are not young people. Some of them were older people. One lady was disabled. It was very difficult for her to walk, and she still had to do it. And I talked to John. I'm trying to figure out what the policy is, and I guess he's going to check on it for me, but this is really tough for seniors and for disabled people to try to have to get on the bus. Sometimes you just can't lift. You know, you have that heavy bags of groceries. You can't lift them to, you know, take them in and out. And most of our buses up in Northeast, there's like no room. I mean, the buses are crowded. So that is a concern I have. I'm still also having concerns with the traffic patterns and stuff that's going on at Rhode Island Avenue with all these changes. And I really believe the RAC needs to watch the developers, maybe try to find out what's going on. I know John's been working on it, and there's supposedly some meetings going on between Ramada and DDOT. But it's not favorable to the buses, and if it's not favorable to the buses, it doesn't matter what goes on there. Even the people that live there, they're not going to support that train. And those people need to get to the station and need to get to their buses and get to where they need to go. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Next item on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. So can I get a motion to approve the agenda? Oh, first, back then, you're going to have to second that. So we have to vote in favor.
If there's no objections.
Oh, there's no objections.
I mean.
Any objections? The next item on our agenda, we're actually going to skip past the meeting minutes. John's going to try and get those to us by the end of the week. So we'll probably vote on the March 2012 meeting minutes next month. The next item on the agenda is the Metro Sexual Harassment Awareness Campaign. And tonight we have Caroline Lucas to speak to us. Caroline, you've got about 25 minutes to say here about this important topic.
Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Lucas, Manager of Media Relations here. Sarah Metro, and I am the program manager for our sexual harassment education campaign. Just to get started, next slide, we'll start with a little bit of background as to how this campaign came to be into fruition. Started probably in February when we had a group of representatives from Cloud Action for Safe Spaces who spoke before DC Council. And they testimony regarding incidents that they had experienced of harassment and assault on Metro. We all found the testimony very disturbing, and following that meeting, it was determined that Metro needed to put together a task force in order to figure out best practices to address the issue and how we should really tackle the problem of sexual harassment on Metro. When the task force was formed, we met a couple of times to kind of figure out how we wanted to proceed. We reached out to Club Action for Safe Spaces and had a couple of their representatives join the table so we could discuss how they felt we should proceed and bring them our ideas and kind of get them to vet what we were thinking and had point us out to see if we were on the right or wrong track with where we were heading. And through all that, we did some research and realized that Boston Transit had actually had an award-winning campaign that we decided we would reach out to them to see if we could license that for them, from them, at least in our initial phases, because this is something we really wanted to act quickly on and get off the ground as soon as possible. And we knew that taking the time to develop something on our own would delay the process considerably. So, we brought that up to Club Action, and they agreed that this could be a good plan of attack. We showed them the creative that Boston had used, and from there, we decided to proceed. Next slide. So from those discussions, we created a three-phase approach. The first phase, which actually was launched officially on Monday, was a web portal and the creation of an email that was launched on Monday. I'll get more into detail about that. Second day will be seeing the actual PSA campaign on the system, which we're hoping to see in the coming weeks and months. And phase three involves employee training. We'll have tribal training programs and videos. So one thing we discovered through our conversations with Collective Action was that a lot of people didn't know how to report incidents of sexual harassment and felt that the idea of going picking up the phone and calling the police just seemed a little bit too much. So we thought a good intermediary step would be to perhaps create a web portal where people go online at their time and discretion and fill out a form that would then be sent directly to the chief of police and his staff, where we could then follow up directly with a police officer and get more information for any incidents that were reported. As well as an email address. So if somebody, let's say, had an incident occur on Metro and they left the train, needed a moment to compose themselves, didn't feel comfortable calling NCPD, that they could take a moment and perhaps send an email when they really got to where they were coming and had a moment to really kind of put their thoughts together. The goal of the launch, which I said we had this past Monday, was to raise awareness of these individuals. We had a soft launch about 2 weeks before we officially announced it, and we had incredible turnout with over a dozen reports through our web portal even before we let the public officially know that it existed. So this is an example of, this is actually a screen grab of our web portal. We felt it includes all the information that the police department, Metro Transit Police Department, would need in order to follow up, to assess an incident, whether it was criminal or not criminal, and take a reaction to follow up after that.
Does everyone who submits something through this receive a follow-up?
Not all of them. Some people choose not to be contacted. One of the questions on the web portal is, would you like us to follow up? And some people say no, don't provide contact information, or just want to let us know that there was an incident that occurred. But everything that we had an incident in the beginning, we were having trouble with spam, so we had some spam bills are on there. So we did certainly follow up on those, but any incident that came through that was deemed to be something legitimate, we certainly would follow up. And they get an email directly from Police Department, asking more questions, asking where they can follow up, they can provide more information, and so on. So to launch this, and to announce this, we go to the next slide. We created these handouts, which were distributed on Monday at Galloway Metro. These were, again, this is derived from the Boston's Creative. We're using their tagline, their photograph, but we tailored the message underneath the Fit Metro Police. We included at the bottom all the advocacy groups that we're working with, besides Club of Action for Safe Spaces. We also have the DC Rape Crisis Center and Rape, Incest, and Abuse National Network, which is right at the start. Also working with us on that as well. So we brought them all to the table, and we've been working on that one. So we handed these out on Monday. We handed out about 1,000 of them at the Galloway Metro Center. And as some of you may have seen, they have pretty good media coverage from it, and a lot of them are at least aware that these tools are out there. And even this today, I've been notified that there have been a couple of other things that have come through. So we're hoping that this, at least in our first phase, is allowing our riders to feel that there are other tools out there if they don't feel comfortable calling the police department. So the next phase, now that we have the creative form from Boston, we're going to adapt it to Fit Metro's needs. So again, in some of the Boston's creatives, you'll see later on in the slideshow, they have certain lines or phrases in there that aren't appropriate for Metro. Same things such as sexual harassment is a crime. In Boston, sexual harassment is a crime, but in DC it's not. So these are things that we need to take into consideration. Again, it's a fine line between what rises to the level of criminal offense and what does not. So those are things that we figure out on our end. We say we don't discriminate when it comes to what gets reported. We want everybody to report any incident that occurs to them, whether it be physical, verbal, or any incident that makes them uncomfortable that we're hearing. Just so that we can start taking note of the kinds of offenses we're seeing, where we're seeing them, see if we can find any patterns, develop a baseline, and then figure out how to allocate our resources. So from that, we'll take the PSA campaign, we're going to tailor it to Metro's needs, and we're going to have them out in the system, like I said, hoping that by next month, so that there's even more awareness as to what should and needs to be done when it comes to providing access and what will not tolerate it. As well with the campaign, is we're going to have that in a three-phase approach as well, so have different posters and flyers and handouts that go out so that the campaign stays fresh and it doesn't just become background noise to anybody. So if we go to the next slide, these are just some examples of the current MBTA campaign. For this, they're not currently up in the Metro and Boston system, right? But these are their creative that we're taking that we will work on. So the first one, which is as I said, was part of the handout, rather than being all exposed to the next one. If someone gets too close to recovery, it's not your fault. And again, just providing information as to what Metro customers can do, who they should call, what information to provide, and outside resources if they're in need of more assistance. But this is the second phase. Again, like I said, to keep the creative fresh, to make sure that people are noticing that we posted, and keeping the top current and on the forefront of people's minds. Just as you can see, at the bottom, this is sexual harassment, it's a crime based issue. That's something we're going to have to fix for Metro's campaign. But these are kinds of ads we're going to be seeing and networking with us. And moving on. Final phase, and these aren't going to necessarily happen one after the other. Some phases will be implemented around the same time. So I said three phases because it's another aspect of the program that we're going to be doing. And that's employee training. We've heard more stories of perhaps station managers or bus operators who perhaps didn't respond with promoting diplomacy or promoting empathy, and we need to impress upon all of our staff. This is something that actually does take very seriously, and if somebody approaches them with a claim of sexual harassment, that they need to take it seriously and realize that that person must be pretty upset that they would come up to that person in the first place. So those are some things we're going to be working on also in the weeks and months ahead. HR is working on designing a new program for the staff. like I said, we had a handle of course of harassment, as well as appropriate conduct from all of our staff. I have to give a small training video. This is derived from another meeting that's held. It's called Real Natural Forum, which is put together as a traction for safe spaces for women who wanted to share their stories. I asked them if it was okay that we speak to them on camera. And for those who say yes, this is the end result.
If you... I'm going to try and get the sound.
Well, I was riding the metro home. It was Friday night, past midnight, and I was alone. I was going to Pentagon City to Foggy Bottom.
Can you hear?
This crazy passenger was on the set next to me. He was saying all these very sexually explicit things about me and about my...
Yeah, I'm just going to pause it for 1 second to see if I can turn the volume up a little bit more. I'm sorry. That's as loud as we'll go.
Can we get a microphone on
that?
It's on. I looked over and he had his hand down his pants. And all of this crazy garbage spewing out his mouth. He followed me onto a train and he rubbed himself against me. I didn't know if I should get up, if I should move, what he would do. So I opted to get up and wave him towards the front of the bus. When it actually happened, I was shocked and just paralyzed, and I just was hoping that, you know, somebody would notice and say something. I got off the train and just kind of burst into tears, and I didn't tell anybody in the metro station about it. I didn't really know how to go about doing that. Well, I told him to back off, but he wouldn't. He just kept doing it. It seemed like there was nothing I could do about it other than be angry. I felt really vulnerable and powerless. No one on that bus cared about what was going on. I was riding the damn metro. I was not there to be sexually objectified by someone else. It was just a really upsetting experience. It was just humiliating and embarrassing to deal with that when all I was trying to do today was go to work. I'm willing to mention that there are at least 50 or 100 women out there that have my same story.
Or, and I'm just wondering, is there anything being done
I guess, particularly for passengers that take the bus, or passengers that don't have the internet, or maybe a smartphone app that has to come, what's being done for those passengers?
I don't want to get ahead of myself, Roger. Some things are in development. Right now, this will not just be shown in graph. I mean, we're planning on putting these buses out within the bus system, because what we are seeing is that, you know, obviously there are equally as many cases on buses that are in draft. So that is something that we have to consider, that we are addressing. The point we're trying to get out with that will be included in all of the ads, that, you know, which will be a hard copy on one of the buses, will say, call Metro Transit Police number. The email and web portal will be more designed for if somebody needed, or just like I said, a lot of the people we're speaking to said, you know, sometimes it's commonly just seen a little much, like, is it really a criminal offense? Should I do that? So that was more to give them a secondary option, if they thought that perhaps. They wanted somebody to know about it, but calling the police just wasn't quite right. We are looking into other options for reporting, that makes them still really tentative, and something I'm hoping for, that I don't want to talk about yet, because I don't want to say, oh, no, we need this, and, you know, for whatever reason, it protects the reasons that they might have. But we are trying to look into other options.
Okay, so we've got six questions for you at least, and I'm going to go around the room here. Carl and Lorraine, Pat, and we'll be from them.
Thanks for having me. I'm sure the statistics bear out that women are sexually harassed more than men. That said, I think you probably agree that sexual harassment targets all genders and lifestyles. And what will you be doing in this campaign to ensure that is reflected? Because as I saw from all these marketing materials, they're exclusively targeted towards women.
In some, I think, like I said, some of the wording is going to be changed. A lot of the text is involved. Because we do want everybody to know that it's not just women, and that is something we have to acknowledge within our meetings that we don't need to address. And not only that, but we also want to address bystanders, because sometimes when they see something, we want to encourage people to see something that, you know, they are also empowered to take action about some of the things that they feel is not right. So those are going to be addressed. As for the photographs, we're not limited in the exhibit, we are making boxes created, but we're going to definitely work around the wording to make sure people know when they read it that it's not just women. It's the right thing. Everybody can hear us. I would, you know, women in Holland and men too, that, you know, it's certainly not all right. So I want to make sure that anybody who does have a woman or a woman should call.
Right. Yes, my question is more, you have sort of addressed it, the fact that we have different jurisdictions within Metro. Since we've already distributed all this information and, you know, go to the website and whatever. So then, at this point, what happens then? Like you said, DC is not a crime, but, you know, Virginia depends on the jurisdiction. So have we don't have a plan, or do we, on the specific jurisdiction? How does the jurisdiction get, you know, involved? Because I understand the Metro Police part of it.
But all this is handled in common. So unless if it raises the level of crime in whichever jurisdiction it occurred, then the jurisdiction would be brought in. But what happens is, however it's reported, when we get the report, you see where it occurred, the description of the event, and so on. And then Metro Transit Police follows up. And in the follow-up, when they get more information, whether they call, you know, the follow-up email, whatever the case may be, from that, they can gather the kind of information they need to determine, is it a crime, is it not a crime? And if it's a crime, it's in Virginia, okay, well, then we go by the laws in Virginia. And so it really is being done on a specific case-by-case basis. So it's not, there's no blanket policy. It's more, okay, we're getting a call from a woman or man in Virginia, and they're saying, you know, they were broke on Metro. Well, that's a crime.
and it's crime in DC, it's crime in Virginia, it's crime in Maryland. So, you know, they will follow up. I mean, the different laws are more particular than that, and there are broader things, sexual assault, no matter where you are, it's still criminal. The things that are a bit more tricky, the indecent exposure, and I believe it's Maryland, the officer actually has a witness at murder reopening arrest. So those are things that Maryland may too have tried to figure out. We have received some sort of positive motions that indicate that perhaps there's some willingness to discuss these things and figure out how we can close those loopholes. But, you know, and in the meantime, we're still asking any action on that. We're dealing with this as best we can, and that's kind of what I want to do for that way.
And then, the question is, the video, is this just going to be put on the website, or are you going to distribute it for, you know, like at the TV stations or whatever, at the PSA, that type of thing? I mean, so that there's more, as I always say, a lot of people don't go to Metro website.
Yeah. This is actually meant for internal use. So the plan, the discussions we had were that when we develop our training program and discover, figure out what it is we need to do, how we can best address it, that it won't be a part of that program. It will be shown to our staff that hey, you know, this is something that we need to take seriously and this is why. As for what other uses, we're still discussing that. I mean, like I said, things are still on the primary basis. We're still trying to figure out what the best use of these would be. I have spoken to a few women who are in the video to see if they'd be comfortable with this video being made public, because when I initially approached them and asked them to speak to us on camera, I said it was for anybody. So I'm still waiting back from one of the women in the video until I get a call. I'm personally not comfortable putting the stories out that way. But I mean, like I said, these are things that we're open to discussing and doing whatever we think needs to be done for it to be addressed. We have about 10 more minutes. So, Pat, do you have a question?
Yeah, quickly. You may want to talk to the folks at Metro Access, Dan O'Reilly. Actually, there's a report that just came out, the O'Reilly report, no relation to Dan. Either Dan or Office of ADA Programs, Glenn Millis. They just did a study and survey with recommendations dealing with harassment on Metro Access vehicles. I think bringing that into what you're doing right now would help. As far as the disabled populations.
An observation and a question. I observed verbal harassment in the tunnel at the Wheat Metrorail station, and it occurs to me that just passing by it, the person that was situated doing the harassing was probably passing hours involved in it, and this was not too far from possible earshot of a Metro police car. I wonder what amount of training has been done for officers already, and what is planned.
Like I said, the training phases are still being involved. I do know the Metro Transit that this is something that's been sent out in a directive and is brought up in the roll call, so that they're really aware that any cases of sexual harassment that are raised to their attention are to take a report, whether it be an incident report, an informational report or an incident report. So they have been told that they're not to be able to let that crime and not do anything about it. They are to take a full report on that. More extensive training is coming. Like I said, it's more that we're still developing what we consider best practices right now to make sure that everything is met with the best approach. And we don't want to do something in a haphazard sort of way and then wind up feeling complex in that way.
Thank you.
Any more questions, Steve?
I just want to looking at the article, the woman being wrote up against the train. Unfortunately, looking at this, my first reaction when I see this is a typical situation every day on the Metro of just how crowded these trains are. And so much of this problem is also because you get on a train, for example, the orange line, when you're wedged up against five people and literally can't move. And part of alleviating this in the future is going to be not packing these trains as hard as much as they can be, and actually trying to alleviate the overcrowding that exists now. Because this is, I mean, yes, it's sexual harassment, but this is also just an example of just riding on the metro and how frustrating it is.
Yeah, we're trying to use some overcrowding. And I see the point, absolutely, and that's a fine line. And so well, that's why the text is important in content using, to know that if somebody, there's a difference between being sandwiched on a train and being sandwiched on a train that's ungrounded. So that's the distinction we're trying to make. We're doing what we can. I mean, the ad is supposed to show that somebody is clearly in an uncomfortable position. But, you know, hoping that people actually read
next time that they'll realize that we're not just talking about somebody who's in a crowded train. It just happens to be that most of these, a lot of these incidents do occur, you know, they're crowded available or a convenience, but it's a crowded train
and we'll notice if that crowd is person. Yes, I just, it is a multi issue. That alleviate the overcrowding in situations just like that. Although I have to say, just on that, a lot of sort of effort as well, don't necessarily involve writing. So there are some where, like I said, it's convenient, but on the other hand, maybe you're talking at him, you know, I heard those stories, you know, somebody exposing themselves on a train that has, you know, a couple of people on it. So I would say it's exclusive to the writing. Thanks.
Carol? I would say this. That if you possibly can, I think it would be really great to include in your training real live people if they're willing to do it, or even role playing, because frankly, I'm 70 years old. I used to ride the subways in New York City, and I think that every woman alive knows the difference between someone brushing up against you when it's crowded and something else. And it's really sad that at my age, and the reason it's relevant is tears came to my eyes because I could instantly connect with feeling of helplessness, powerlessness that was expressed. So I would say two things. One is maybe have real live people willing to tell their stories or do some acting out. And the second thing is I did across comments that harassment is not limited to women. And I think that point has to be underscored. I'm not quite sure how you do it without falling into the trap stereotyping people by their looks, but I think that point has to be a visual as well as a text for a print.
Like I said in the beginning, that we license this to be expeditious, to get things cleaned up, but this isn't the only campaign we're planning on doing. This isn't going to be, you know, a one-shot thing that we then forget about once the attention on it dies down. So we'll certainly take all these things. Bring it back to our next test or maybe want to know that we have things that are along the campaign that we need to implement. I think I appreciate that. And one last question, Debbie?
I thought it would be great to have a 2020. Again, I'd love to thank Jeff and Howard for your time. You may want to include Tony. How you write your definition, how you write the report to MP each day. And also, you mentioned that you are not in the world of death or crime. The amount of people who are zero, you are out of it. I hope that I've done that. I made it in the report. And you don't show it.
Working on this for a few weeks, so we still have a lot of work to do. And for that, if you have any more suggestions, please feel free to let me know and be on me, because this isn't something we're just going to let go away and forget about.
actually reached out to the RAC early on, and we sent out here, you see, in marching orders or so from the GM. So we appreciate you wanting to bring this on earlier, later in the RP. So our next agenda item is the FY 2013 proposed fare increase / budget committee. And we got about 40 minutes to discuss this issue. The first thing I want to do is let everyone know that the letter that was sent around in email form is actually on page 13 and 14 of 13 through 16 of your packet here. And one of the first things I want to do is thank the committee that worked on this. I know the committee worked or met about three times and probably a lot of deliberations over email. And so our point here tonight is that we realize that it's very crucial that I think the RAC take a stand in some form. Hopefully it will be a letter that we approve tonight. And so I look forward to everyone's constructive comments. I just ask that due to the limited time frame that we have, that you keep your comments as concise as possible and as constructive as possible, so that we can definitely get through this and hopefully get this delivered to the board this month. With that said, I'm going to let Carl take over.
Thanks, Kelsey. So as everyone knows, the agency has asked, the agency has a shortfall, roughly 112 million,
Around, yeah, anywhere from 110 to 120.
They have proposed 66 million of that to be borne by Rutgers. The rest of it is borne by an increased jurisdictional subsidy. No one wants a fare increase, but that 66 million has to come from somewhere. And ever leery of that, the council has in past years has an opportunity to provide comments on that or not provide comments on that and let the authority do as it will. So while no one relishes paying more for a service that continues to struggle in many sectors, we are hamstrung by the fact that there is a budget shortfall and it does have to be closed by what was in the docket. That said, we have the budget committee has pulled together a letter. I think if we can go through the kind of top section first and take comments, and then we can go into the specific proposals. Considering the gravity of the gap to be solved, the budget committee felt it necessary to only focus on the big ticket items, approving, for instance, the next page, which has all the different impacts, approving the 10 things at the bottom only nets you $10 million or something. So there's really, you have to pay for that 66 million somehow, and you really can only get probably 9 options on this list, or some combination of that. That said, the general manager has also proposed eliminating the peak, which means there's an additional 12 million to fill. So maybe we can take comments and questions and suggestions on the first section, and we can go into the proposals and discuss the merits. And myself and Kelsey and Lorraine and Chris and Darm will all attend the budget committee hearings to talk about and Joseph. Impact. Anyone else can talk about why we chose that, and we're open to revisions and open to changes. We're open to striking whole sections if that's what the council wants to need someplace to start. So any comments on the first section, that is the door above the bullet points, just about generally our stance.
You know, page
13? Page 13. Yeah.
Basically, the first three paragraphs. Anything before the sentence below
the proposed fare increases? I have just a simple, well, two simple comments. One is a missing word, at all possible. But then also in the next sentence that begins with that said, the council understands the need for fares to increase. I felt that sentence was redundant based on what was said in the first sentence. very first sentence of the, no, I'm sorry, not very first sentence, first sentence of the paragraph. Council would like to recognize first recognize that while pay increases are not his first choice, these increases may be necessary to balance and trade. That said, the council understands the need for payers to increase the rent rate for reductions in order to stretch service and help balance.
So which one was passed during the?
I don't have a problem with that, it is in the well. There is no disagreement, Travis' suggestion.
Carol? I would like to hear Rich Schultz rationale for wanting to do away with the people that they kind of know what. You know, I got the comments by email before, I don't know where the rack stands, so I was wondering what his justification was for that.
Let's jump in on that as soon as we move to. Anyone else have any comments on the top section before we go on to the specific proposal? All right, let's move on. Now, can you give us the mandate for over there? Maybe John can speak to what General Ledger proposed eliminating, and I can mention just briefly, from the budget committee's point of view, getting rid of it meant $12 million more that had to come from somewhere else, and while it didn't achieve the policy implications that, like David had discussed last year, of putting on the people needs to just spread people out and do. Get more capacity. Didn't really happen if the diversion of the county exists. That said, that money was still being collected. There was a lot of disagreement within the group, but it came to a majority of cases that felt like you can't walk away from $12 million, when it's already being collected. And not that that has an impact on people's budgets and, their pocketbooks, but. At the same time, it's that or you can make up something.
Right. No, I understand a lot of you with the budget committee. I would like to understand what you said.
From the discussions with the finance committee, the suggestion for getting rid of the peak, well, there are three sort of reasons for getting rid of the peak. One, it didn't shift riders out of the peak by any significant numbers, so it didn't reduce that crowding. Two, it added a layer of complexity to the fare system. In short, customers didn't like it. It made it difficult to determine your fare. If you've ever watched anybody stare at that chart on the fare card machine, it was difficult to explain. I think it led to a lot of frustration with staff. And then third, getting rid of the peak dramatically reduced the complexity or the number of different fare combinations. We had, you'll probably remember Metro had a heck of a time programming the peak. It was very, just because, there's probably some mathematical word, but it increases the amount of fare combinations, if not exponentially, by a significant degree. This would bring that number down from, I want to say 44,000 to 20,000 or something, much smaller. So it was those three reasons. It didn't shift riders, customer dissatisfaction, and then complexity of the fare tables.
The only thing I would say to the budget committee, and I apologize because I was not able to attend the meeting with you, Mr. To the budget committee, talk about where this $12 million could come from, should this be struck?
Yes, right. If you turn to the second page, page 15, we were basically choosing from items 1 through 9, and some of those are repetitive, so you can choose one of those. But so we didn't aim and say, just kind of chose the things that are most powerful. We did recognize the complexity issue. I think everyone wants a fare that is less complex. And we included a section, the second one of the paragraph, regarding complexity and the desire to try to reduce that complexity, even if it's a difficult decision.
But, Darrell?
Yeah, I think the major issue, Carol, is that if you get rid of the HEPA fee, the two alternatives that you have is where a limit to what was advertised by Metro is, would be increasing the max fare to $6, which represents a dollar increase, and a 20% increase in a lot of people opposed to that. And then the off-peak fare, which was kind of protected in the last major fare increase in 2010, you basically have to have about the maximum that was advertised, and both of those were not popular. So it's not that retaining the HEPA fee was popular, it was that the alternatives, which were limited only one Metro advertised, were more unpopular.
So it's the least worst scenario.
We had discussed also, I think David had mentioned, his desire to see maybe, condense the peak to the time, but increase it a little. But that wasn't advertised, so it's not relevant.
Okay.
I mean, we could condense the time if we wanted, right?
Well, you could recommend the board to do that, yes.
Right. But then you're left with some additional. Just to comment, first of all, I think the letter's very well written and very balanced, so I think it will resonate well. Just two things, and I wanted to bring up things that were brought up in the public meetings, at least the ones that I attended. First of all, there's no mention of Metro Access in here, and that was a very strong part of the public meetings, and I think the strength of that position needs to be recognized somewhere in here. And I noticed that it's not, we're not supporting a rise in that fare.
So, question, you would have us mention it even if...
Yeah, well, there are some of these also say, the council does not support. I think it would be nice to add one of, we do not support the rise in the Metro Access fare. That's worth mentioning here. The other thing I just want to mention is,
Google Pause right there. Of course, we talked when Pat was there about deferring to Metro Access because they have a proposal that they have. They're trying to get vetted by Metro. And we started discussions in the budget group was that we should leave the recommendation on that.
Okay, very sensible.
If you choose to include that, you can indicate that you agree with the position represented by the Accessibility Advisory Committee, and that position does exactly what you said. It does not, we do not want to see the fares raised. So if you concur with that.
Yeah, I think we
would appreciate that. That would be a great addition.
So that's some sort of concurrence.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to mention is something I heard a lot in public hearings was on the bus fare piece of that. And looking at the revenue chart, it's actually relatively small, that piece, but it impacts a lot of people. And a lot of people at public meetings said, I got the option of doing rail or bus, and I use the bus because it's that low-cost alternative. And I realize that they're only increasing it, towards the CPI, and I understand that. The bus fare increase?
Can we circle back to that when we get to that bullet?
You're going bullet by bullet?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, that was taking all of the
bullets. Does anyone else have any other comments on the fee issue? If you oppose the fee to the fee and would like it struck, this would be a time to consider that.
Would you like the
bullet struck? Yeah. That is to say, or change in any meaningful way.
I sit on one of the budget meetings, and one of my problems is that the peak of the peak was something that a lot of the riders had problems with. Okay, now we represent the riders, and we discussed the three issues, which was the complexity. It didn't do what it was supposed to do. And to me, in addition to that, we have to add the fact that if the general manager said that he wants to strike it down,
how can we, representing the writers that don't like the Week of the Bee, come and support the Week of the Bee? I don't have a problem with that, and I don't think that we would be representing the writers if we go and say, even though the general manager says that we should strike it down, I think we should keep it. And not to mention the complexity, I still don't understand it, but my basic concern is the fact that we represent the writers that don't like the Week of the Bee, and the general manager saying,
Victoria and John.
Does anyone recall any specific comments from the public meeting about retention of Week of the Bee or not?
Most of the comments were so focused, I mean, the majority of the comments were regarding Metro Access that I don't remember a specific, I mean, I'm sure there are probably a couple, and I'm sure that information came, you know, I'm sure that in the written testimony somewhere people mentioned the Peak of the Peak, but it wasn't it certainly, I don't know, was a dominant theme of the oral testimony.
I understand that we're in this series, but my concerns right now is proposed what we're supporting roughly the bill's gap. So if you were to make a motion to strike it, I would ask that you also make a motion to modify the other recommendations to increase the $12 million that would be lost by the way. That's all.
Danny?
Danny,
you're
not
regarding
the Week of the
Bee.
Someone said to reduce the time with Peak of the Peak. That means we need to have some kind of general survey, how many writers use Peak of the Peak, maybe the first or any 3 months, and see how it goes. It's just a basic suggestion if you can do a survey the first or any of the 3 months. Maybe that would help us to see a better picture of what Peak of the Peak.
I'm sorry, could you clarify that for me?
I believe that he was asking what the ridership numbers during that Peak of the Peak time period, and if the RAP was to condense that time period, I guess how much revenue would be captured from those individuals riding at that time. I mean, I don't think that's something you can actually consider.
No, I mean, I guess, you know, if you want to be very simplistic about it, if it raises $12 million over a 90-minute period, one could very back of the envelope say if you cut that to 60 minutes, maybe it would raise around $7 or $8 million. I mean, I'm sure there are much more sophisticated models, but if you cut the time by a third, you'd cut the revenue by a third, or maybe a little more, because people would switch more.
So we have about 25 minutes. And I'm not going to rush because this is very important, but I bring up the time occasionally so that we can know how to stay on track. It looks like we have here maybe 9 or 10 bullet points to approve if we're going to go through them one by one. Stephen, if you have one last comment on Peak of the Peak, and then I think...
Very quick. Okay. I definitely hear what Lauren said about this and about the general manager voting. I just will point out that the general manager has a very difficult political situation where he's in, where he has to increase ridership, and this is a way, or increase fares, and this is a way to say, no, we're cutting back, we're doing this, it's not as bad as it seems. So, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to get that you have to get rid of it, some of which are legitimate policy, and some of it's all PR. But I think the one thing I will say is that it is a legitimate issue of where that money is going to come from.
That's a good point. And I think the other point
we
should bring up, Lorraine, is that when people come to public hearings, sometimes they look at the entire package comprehensively, other times they look at that one aspect that only impacts them. And I think the job of the RAC is to look at everything. So I think we're doing that here. So now, how do you want to do this? Do you want to vote on each bullet point? Or?
I would just throw this at what about if.
Can I suggest something parliamentarily, if that's a real word, is that if someone would move to approve the whole letter and then someone, and then with each bullet point that wants to be modified, you can, someone can approve an amendment and you can vote on that separately.
Okay.
Motion to approve the reply. We got to vote to start discussion.
Well, no, you'd need a second to start discussion. Thank you. Okay, and then if somebody wants to offer an amendment, then they can, and you can vote on that separately.
All right, so I guess I'll offer an amendment to strike the bus fare in the bullet. Reason being, the rough back of the napkin math that I do in my head of math, not my strong suit, in case they're actually a little bit over the 66 million. So since the bus, increasing the bus fare, and I'm talking about number 11 on the list of spreadsheet here, is only a $6.2 million item, which only 6.2, but still, in comparison to a lot of the other measures, it's quite small. And again, I think we should be responsible to some of the people at the hearings who are talking about keeping Metro Bus as a more cost-effective option as an alternative to Metro Rail. And I realize that the increase is, it seems slight because it is, but it's still something that matters to a lot of people. And I think this is the one thing we've been talking a lot about, what can Metro sort of give back in all of this. I think this is one area where it's cost-effective enough to do so, and that's something that can be a gesture that we can make to the right level.
So that's about $6.2 million in revenue. Is there something else that we can suggest to make up that $6.2
million? Yeah, well, I was saying that for my calculation, I do the calculation to do it correctly. I think we're actually a little bit over the 66 right now. And if you look at all, if you add up all the fair proposals that we've got, it's at least quite close. And again, Carl was saying that, you know, they didn't, the budget committee didn't do it exactly up to 66 anyway. So I guess I would propose that it not be replaced with anything, mostly because I can't think of anything else that's not already taken care of. But also because I think it's such a small amount that, that we could easily just put this letter forward without that particular bullet and the sort of force of how much budget we want to make up with the various proposals would not be that seriously affected.
Any other comments on the suggestion?
No.
Is there a second to that?
Oh, is there a second?
Okay.
Not sure. There's something going on with the bus, and I don't know if this is considered permanent, but there's also a surcharge that has been placed on individuals that use either the fare cards or cash on the buses. It's more expensive than if you use a smart card, and it's also sort of kind of like a double because you have also don't get your paper arrangements. That is going to impact individuals who are have low income, exclusively use the bus, and perhaps don't know how to use the smart cards or don't have access to smart cards. So that's another area that that the NEC took a position on regarding the use of cash and the use of paper credit cards that I think impacts a lot of people. I don't know if that is relevant to this particular part of the motion that you're making, whether we want to incorporate that or whether we want to make a separate motion regarding.
I would say use that as a separate
motion. Okay, we can do that.
Is there any other discussion on Ben's amendment to strike the bus fare increase by
Yeah, I just have to make a comment. The Metro, about 3 years ago, Metro Board adopted a policy that says that the general manager's budget shall include increases based on CPI on a biannual basis. I actually pushed that very hard with Chris Zimmerman when he was on the board. The reason is that before this policy went into effect, there was a lot of politics where the district wanted to keep the bus fare low, but it was the rail fares, and the suburban jurisdictions wanted to obviously the opposite. And part of the reason for this, and many agencies, including our in San Francisco, have this policy, which is to increase shares by CPIs, to keep the board focused on broader strategic issues and running the agency, and not to get into the details of things like bears. So I'm going to close it because I feel like it's good policy to have biannual fare increases that are at CPI versus not having fare increase for 5 years and then having a, you know, 30% increase. But I do understand the concern, and I also point out that the Metro bus fare, even after this increase, will be significantly lower than the cash fare for agencies up and down the lines in the bus part of the country. At $1.60 smart trip, $1 in cash. It's, you know, $2.25 in New York City. It's, I think, $2 in Chicago. It's $2 in Philadelphia. So the fare will still be quite affordable compared to other cities.
I think that's an excellent point. I think we're already recommending that certain fares rise and others don't at all. So since we're not recommending an across-the-board increase by the CPI, we're already intrinsically thinking of choosing which parts of that we're going to use and not use.
Well, we are back in the Metro Rail peak increase of CPI, which is the general manager's budget, and we're saying the bus increase should be CPI, so we are kicking winners and losers. I'm sorry to say.
Oh, yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. We are kicking winners and losers.
But both right now, both of them stand at 5.7%.
Right, but we're also, we're not advocating an increase in the Metro access fare.
The group has said that, isn't it?
He's moved and seconded.
Oh, okay.
You can vote.
All in favor of striking our support for bus fare increase by CPI on May 15th, say aye. This is support striking that position.
So Ball, Walker, and
Patrick.
I'm sorry, Patton.
Yes.
So you're opposed, you would want the RAC not to recommend? Or,
yeah.
Okay.
All those against striking that from the letter?
Can you repeat the
motion is to strike our support of increasing the bus fare by CPI. You got one.
No, I didn't get the opposed. Who's opposed? So
if you oppose, it means you support increasing the bus fare.
Rain, Chris, Stephen, Victoria, Deborah. Okay. And there are 11 of us here tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Who do I not have?
All those who abstain.
Wait, I'm sorry. In favor, I have Carol, Ben, Carol, Frank, and Pat. Being in favor of not increasing the bus fare, opposed. I'm sorry, I missed Darn. Okay, so I have Kelsey, Carl, Lorraine, Chris, Stephen, Victoria, Deborah, and Darn.
Okay.
are opposed to, or seven, 4-7.
Amendment fails.
So the amendment fails. No, 4-8, I'm sorry. So the amendment fails by 4-8. No, there's no amendments on the floor, it's just the whole letter, so...
I'd like to see the RAC confirm the positions of the AAC regarding not increasing the price of metro access fees, plus the AAC's the second part of that, the AAC's recommendations on not charging extra if an individual uses paper fare cards or cash on the buses. Are there any?
The motion is to concur with AAC's recommendations to hold harmless for fare increases, as well as agree with their position that paper fare cards should be treated equally and not charged extra.
So,
for metro access only, not on metro bus and metro
rail. The cash is on the bus. Yeah, the cash, basically there's a premium if you use the fare cards or the cash, particularly on the bus.
Would this apply only to metro access or all?
No. I mean, the first position deals with only metro access. The second one deals with bus.
Well, and just so I can capture this clearly, the AAC's recommendation is that fares not rise from what they are currently?
Metro access.
Understood. Metro access. Okay.
Yeah, the metro access fares not rise.
Is there a second?
That's the one I said.
Thank you.
Can I just get a point of clarification from our AAC liaison? There was some discussion early on about actually rolling back the minimum fare on metro access to be double what was on the bus, which has a lower fare. Was that included as part of the AAC recommendations, and are you asking for concurrence on that?
No, I'm not asking for concurrence on a specific plan, because the AAC put together three or four different scenarios based on whatever the board comes up with as a package. There were at least three scenarios. One was dealing with the zones, so that if the board proposed a zone fare, metro access fares would be simplified, and it would not rise, it would be a fixed fare for around $4. Another proposal that we put out there dealt with twice the fares of the buses, and the average fare then would be fixed around $3. And the third had to do with, I think it had to do with paper fare cards, and we had a fixed fare of either around $4 or $4.50. All of them were going to be based on whatever the board came up with as far as the their proposals for the fixed route system, because the metro access fares are based on the fixed route system. What we're trying to avoid, what we're asking the RAC support on, is that the proposal by the general manager in his budget recommended a 28% revenue increase on metro access over and above what they have now, which last year was 125% increase. We went from $3, or let's say $6 for a round trip fare, to a potential of $14 for a round trip there. A huge increase. So we're asking that we're looking for a simplified fare, and that the fares be effectively reduced.
So the amendment on the table is concurring with AAC's position that they should not have any fare increases, and mentioning that, and adding that to the
to the mother. Is there any discussion?
Just so I'm clear in what is being captured, Patrick. What we're voting on now is that the RAC does not, or the RAC is saying, don't make any changes to Metro Access fares. Don't let them increase.
Right, if that is part, yes.
And that's it, or is there more, is there more to that?
No, what they're already saying, John, is that the RAC is concurring with the AAC's position that the fares for Metro Access not changed, but be reduced. Now, I can't give you the exact formula for what they'll be reduced by, because that's going to be based on what the board is going to do as far as the fixed route system. But the AAC has at least three proposals before the board right now, based on whatever they'll propose: zones, fare cards, or the fastest, cheapest fare. All of which are viable proposals, but we can't determine one versus the other, because we have to see what the board is going to do with the fixed route system.
So it sounds like the AAC has a number of options still out there to try to decide on, and I think it might be unfair to ask us to be part of blindly with the AAC. Now, say if we don't support it, we just would like to know for sure what you all are going to do. So perhaps you can back up and make some sort of amendment where, just in general, we support maybe no increase in the AAC, Metro Access fare.
In the current?
Not necessarily in the current with the AAC, because we don't know what you all are going to come up with.
Well, we still had an amendment on the floor that was Pat's amendment was not just that Metro Access fares not increased, just making sure that I'm clear, but also that they decrease according to whatever recommendation that the AAC comes up with.
That's what I'm saying now.
Okay, so that's what's on the floor now.
Vote on that.
I would guess you, if
okay.
I'm not trying to prejudice the group. If
no,
the group,
I think
Kelsey did.
Vote that.
No, you seconded it.
I seconded it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was who was before. I did not know all of this.
There was that second part.
Go to all the possibilities.
Okay, so let's take a vote then. All in favor of Pat's amendment? One.
Okay, let's pass.
Oh, that's not good. All right.
Well,
now, so I'll take a point on that position. How would this group?
Hold on, all opposed.
I might suggest a parliamentary strategy. Pat, this is Carol Walker. I would suggest you withdraw your motion, and let's not vote on it. And if you're willing to do what Kelsey said, make that motion. I don't like the idea of going on record that we we'd be forced to say we're against.
In the face of inevitable.
Right.
Very nicely done.
So that's what I would do.
Yes. That's very well put. I would draw the motion.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I just gave the last one. I
don't
want to do it again.
I move that the RAC include a statement in this letter to the board stating our support to not increase Metro Access fare above what they are right now.
Second one, Carol.
Thank you.
Discussion. So my discussion on that is, because I'd like to go back to my group and say, does this mean that you're endorsing the current system as it is now? The status quo.
That's the only thing that's on the docket, it's the only thing we know. I think until we have a more firm proposal from the AAC and from general manager of the board, I think it's unwise for us to kind of speculate and vote on for
or not, and what that could be. So I think you're saying
we may support it, but some might not, depending on whatever
issue it is. Jim, I think it just matters on the revenue implications, because if you look at page 16 or 21,
independent that was advertised, they proposed increasing the maximum fare of metro access to $7.40. It doesn't even raise the minimum dollars here. So I think that everyone here agrees that, and when we discuss this in the budget committee, it's not something we wanted to be on the table to endorse. We're not endorsing it. And we're willing to come out and say, well, we actually would disagree with the option that was advertised to increase the maximum fare at $7.40. Anything beyond that, I think what we're saying is we just need more information on the revenue impacts on it before we can endorse or not endorse such a proposal.
And so because we have 3 minutes, and I really think this is very important for us to get out to the board if possible, I'd actually like us to take a vote on this, and then we can always send another letter or add another statement when we have more information from the AAP. Is that okay?
That's fine.
So any other comments or discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Anybody opposed?
And I'll abstain.
Okay.
What was about that?
Everyone was in favor of not increasing the metro access fare, Emma.
Good.
Are there other amendments to the letter?
Yes. My point is to the earlier discussion. I propose the elimination of the peak of the peak surcharge.
Discussion on eliminating the peak of the peak surcharge.
I have a comment. I actually think I went through and tallied the revenue for each of the options for these 9 bullet points, and I came up with about 91.8 million. Am I correct? And I don't know if that is correct, then we may be giving the board a bit more to work with as far as meeting that shortfall, which is 66 million, or is that which is 12 million? So,
it's 66 if the jurisdictions come up with the money that they would ask.
Okay. And 1 for 9, even 1 for 9, not all of them are additive. In other words, if you look at number 6 and 7, you would do 1. You would do either number 6 or number 7, but you wouldn't be able to add them together and see what. Number 8 and 9, those are alternatives. So when you look at the letter, you have to actually go back and look at what we endorsed. So we're not even going to get number 6 because we're endorsing a lower fare than the 75% of the peak that was advertised. So we do not have room, and my comment then would be, Lorraine, are you going to be able, as part of your motion, what you would like to increase to offset that bonus and eligibility cost?
First of all, if we don't come up with the 66 million right now, don't we? Is that correct? From what I understand? It seems to me that it's moot. Because if we don't come up with the 66 right now, with it.
We are at 66, right?
We are at the 66. Okay,
I didn't add either, but I think I made a mistake. I think I told you. And I was just throwing that out there as an FYI.
Well, in any case, do I have another source of revenue? No. And I don't think that is the right place to come up with another source of revenue. I still think that what we are, my point was that as representatives, as the group that represents the riders, we should not be endorsing a position that is opposed to most ridership and to the general manager. It's a matter of perceptions, even if you want to even put it that way. It would look bad for us to endorse something that is against the will of the riders.
Carol and then Chris, and then you gotta take a vote.
Just briefly, I agree with Lorraine. We don't necessarily have to meet the 66 million. And the other thing is, have they beaten the bushes administratively? people on the budget working group, have they done their usual song and dance about?
I think that what I can say at this point is that I think you do have some flexibility in your numbers. But that's all I'm able to say.
Okay. I think Darm's made the most compelling arguments here. The general manager is cross pressured for sure. It may be a complexity, but we don't need to cater to the innumeracy of the American public. It's something that has come to exist, however unpalatable it is to some. It has the capacity to change behavior. I think that it's a component that we need to support.
Thanks. I'll ask from my Debbie and I'll take a vote.
I don't see a reason that maybe we need to emphasize that we are here to agree with the budget, to raise revenue, to cover the gap. But if there any way we could say we use the revenue to cover the common operating expenses without adding other expenses that have buried at a new building facility.
The same way you can add it to add in, you're saying add in a provision that just asks that fares don't go up from where they are?
Clarify that?
Go ahead.
New facilities are funded out of the capital budget, which does not come from passenger fares. Operating funds come from passenger fares, to run the buses and trains, but construction by and large is a capital expense that's funded by federal and local governments, but it's not, in most cases funded out of your fares.
And in the past, some budget gaps have been closed by transferring capital dollars into the operating account, but that comes at the expense of deferred maintenance and on new infrastructure.
So let's take a vote. We're at 8 o'clock and I want to make sure we can get everything else on our agenda this evening. I guess anything, any other comments for discussion for this motion? Okay? All in favor of Lorraine's motion?
All in favor of striking.
Okay, so.
So three.
All opposed to striking.
Okay.
And
then abstain is Frank. Okay, that motion fails.
Any other amendments to the law?
So,
hearing no other discussion on the letter as proposed.
On the items that say, so are we seeing this chart along with the letter?
No,
that was just an FYI.
Okay, so they won't see items that know this.
Any other questions or discussion or amendments to the letter regarding proposed support or opposition to components of the
property again. Hearing none.
Okay, then you guys need to vote on the main motion.
The full motion will be the letter as amended as a whole. The only changes I have marked down are the struck third sentence of the first, second paragraph that Charlie proposed, and the addition of the metro access colon, not increasing fares on metro access.
Right, I mean, unless anybody offers anything else that would be on the bullet. Well, yeah, that's not.
The most controversial. All in favor of endorsing the letter and sending it to the board?
Any opposed?
Okay, thanks everyone for your work on that. If you have any questions, email Carl or contact Carl on the budget committee. And I think it's great that we are going to get this out, get this to the board this month. The next item on our agenda is the working group update. We have one formal working group, that's the airport accessibility group. And do you have anything to share with us tonight?
Yes, we are going to have a meeting. It's the 11th, if I'm not mistaken. And it's at 6:30, right here in this exact space. We're going to have the director of bus operations here to talk to us. Bus planning, sorry. Thank you for the correction. Talk to us about the 5A and the B30 bus, among other things. So we encourage everyone who's interested to come on down.
And just by a show of hands, how many think they can make it to next Wednesday? Can you make that 6:30 in this room?
Yes, in this room or across the hall.
So we've got maybe three individuals. And go send an email out to remind us.
I will. Yeah.
Sure.
The other, we have the committee group that we budget committee as well as not working group. The other working group we may have is possibly a working group about the youth. And Joseph is not here to talk about that and the status of that. So I'm going to pass and go on to the next item on the agenda, which is the Metro Monthly Feedback Proposal. And again, then you have the floor.
Thanks. I assume that everybody's read the proposal. Basically, what we're looking to do is just establish a more regular form of feedback between us and Metro. We get a lot of informal feedback, and John is great about getting us answers to our questions. But I think, you know, since I've been on the RAC, I've been interested in making that a little more formal and making it, quite frankly, a little more public so that the writing public sees what Metro's responses to us are rather than just us seeing those responses. And also giving us a way to bring up our concerns to Metro on a regular basis, some of which might be grand policy concerns, some of which might be smaller issues that are of interest that might not even rise to the level of being at a RAC meeting. I looked at the Metro bylaws today, and it actually goes quite nicely with this proposal. This is part of our what we were formed to do, which is hold Metro accountable in a controlled sort of way, get more input from Metro, and also represent the interested in providers. As to the point that was made in the public statement about more data, I know that that's a very controversial issue. I'm not necessarily proposing that this is the vehicle for that. Maybe it is, and maybe it's a question about the data that could flow through all this. But I think part of the proposal is also that the leadership committee take a bit of a role in this in terms of vetting the proposals, the proposed questions, looking to see that they're appropriate, looking to see that Metro can actually answer the questions. So there is a bit of a control mechanism in there, which I think is probably necessary in this sort of situation. So it's pretty simple. You know, we would each have one question allocated to us every month. We would submit those to Kelsey or the leadership team. They would compile those, they would deconflict. I'm assuming that a lot of us have had the same questions, at least to start. So they would work with individual members of the RAC to maybe deconflict some of those questions. So we have a list of
one, each person had a different question. Then we would come back together, we would vote on the list every month. Then we would send it over to John, he would work with Metro staff to get their input. And I'm not proposing that this be massive input, that this be pages and pages of talking, a paragraph or two, hopefully, that would answer some of these questions. John would go through his chain of command to get those cleared, and then they would be disseminated to us back on a regular schedule. So, with that, that's the proposal.
I have a question. Our formal relationship is to the board, not to the DM, is that correct? Can we direct Metro staff without going through the board to answer these sorts of things?
I think you can request information from Metro staff. I don't know that you can necessarily direct them to give an answer. And I think there may be, it may be an issue of, I don't want to go all the way to say conflicting, but in the RACS bylaws, it talks about working with Metro staff. And I'm not sure, I think whereas the board has been very clear about defining its relationship with the general manager, it works through the general manager and then sort of trickles down from him. At the same time, I don't know that this necessarily is directly in conflict with that.
And I should say that I'm open to proposals in terms of how it's all routed and all that. I'm more concerned with getting questions answered than how they're answered.
Yeah, and when I got the email from Ben, I thought this was actually a great starting point for this conversation. So I want to thank you for putting this on the table. So we can ask questions tonight, and I think it's probably going to take us a little bit of time to figure out what the RACS role should be when it comes to this type of information request, because the requests vary. And then who do we go to, or who should those requests be directed through, but it's something we'll have to figure out. So I don't expect us to come to a decision, but it's something that's on the table now, and we need to have a serious discussion about it in the near future. Victoria?
Thanks for the proposal. I am slightly worried, if I'm reading this correctly, that there's going to be a list of possible 21 questions every month. So I would say limit it to 3 questions or something. But from what I'm reading right now, everyone could submit a question, but I don't know who to do it. I don't want to hand a lot of less than 20 questions in.
Carol and then
Don. Yeah, I also want to thank Ben for this because it satisfies the issue that I had. Last year, I think that what this does is it's transparent. In other words, this prevents the issue that I had last year, that no one is going to be using the RAC as a reason to go to Monada for information without people. In other words, if you're asking a question of Monada or the board or staff on behalf of the RAC, and everybody on the RAC will know about it, which I think this proposal definitely does. I would suggest that maybe we suggested that John run this by the Office of General Counsel in the same way that we did with our bylaw changes of a couple of years ago. Not to say that they have veto power, but just to align the relationships, so to make sure that we're not talking about some relationships that they may have issues with. But I think in general it's a great idea. It makes me, I'm not quite sure, but I think it's a great idea.
Okay, great, Don.
I'd like to echo Victoria's comments. I think that 21 is potentially too much. 3 may be the right number. But I'd also like to say that one of the things that I've always said in the interim report here on Iraq is that we should push Metro to do the right thing. In other words, we held that hearing on random searches, but really Metro did that without holding a public hearing, which is a problem. Metro doesn't have a writing newsletter like many theater agencies do, the trans agencies do. They need to have one, and one of the things they always have is, writer questions. The other point is that, through Dr. Gridlock, people are able to ask questions about Metro and get them answered. And Metro doesn't do that directly unless you have a Twitter account, and I hate to age myself, but too old to have a Twitter account. I don't Twitter. And I think this is important, but it will advance, and we need to advance this, but it shouldn't substitute for us pushing for Metro to do much of this directly. In other words,
we are not as well equipped as they are with their staff and their resources to answer questions, and they should be doing that directly to the public and engaging the public.
So I definitely am interested in this idea. What I'm trying to figure out is where do we go from here? Because it's a proposal, I guess we want to take it to general counsel and maybe some others, but perhaps it needs to be refined a little bit more before we do that, or do we take it as is, or then do you take, I hesitate to ask to give you another working group, but.
Maybe I can just address those comments and then maybe make a suggestion about how to move forward. I see the question about volume, I think that's a good point. That being said, I work in a government agency and we get hundreds of questions from my colleagues that are there in Congress every single day, and we manage to answer all of those. I think as long, and that's, again, part of the vetting function of the executive committee would be to make sure that answering those is manageable. But I would definitely want to hear from John at some point or from Metro in general about the burden that this would place on Metro. That's not, the intent is not to place an extra burden that's unbearable on Metro. And I'm open to suggestions on the number of queries, or adding three is too few, quite frankly. But 21 or however many we are might be too many. I'm open to suggestions there.
Is it all right if I chime in? I guess at this point, I don't know. I certainly, based on my experience thus far, and I would hope that all of you on the council feel free to contact me, that I don't hear from a lot of people every month beyond, you know, inputs on items related to the agenda. So I am not, right now I'm not concerned about volume. I think that may be an issue of we'll cross that bridge when we cross it, if we cross it.
And we can always adjust it over time, too.
You know, it's...
Maybe not every member has a question every time, or maybe, you know, maybe Metro says this is too much for us, and
Well, and, you know, and I guess also there are questions and there are questions.
Yeah.
You know, there are questions that have relatively discrete answers, and then there are questions that you know, are you know, much more detailed and complex and are different in terms of the answer staff will be required to provide. And so, you know, a question is not necessarily, you know, they're not all equal. So I think that's something that we'll know when we see it.
So in terms of the way to move forward, I guess I'd suggest maybe that we mull this over, that John gets some feedback for us on the proposal that he could then present to us at the next meeting, and then we could consider it for a vote and or amendments at that time. Does that make sense?
Could we do a straw poll to see if you have enough interest in this?
That's a good idea.
Okay, okay. Let's first take two more comments. Let's take Debbie and then Carl, and then we'll do a straw poll to figure out what the next step should be. Debbie?
Can you think about if the board would be able to I know that the mental writers have asked questions in the inquiry, and I know that somebody from mental responds to the question and put in the inquiry. Either we'll be doing this job, or we got to be doing the other job.
Two comments. First, the leadership team is always willing to entertain questions of the agenda topic items. To my knowledge, we have never gotten a suggestion from board, from record council members, if I'm probably correct, record members. If you have a question burning within you about the agency and how something is happening, we can put that on the agenda for a presentation from the agency. But we have not gotten a lot of feedback from council members.
I think this is important. It was a little bit difficult at times too to make sure that the leadership team at that time was pulling topics that would resonate with members at that time. So again, it's just to say please, if you have any topics,
let us know that you wanted to discuss it on my call.
My other comment is that I totally agree with not all the time, but I think on our regular communication, yes, there is no newsletter, there is no regular update, there is no way to subscribe to updates. I follow transportation, let's say, where I'm from, I should say, real closely, and, you know, agencies that are smaller than Metro have devices to communicate with their records more regularly than this one does. And that is a gap that perhaps not being addressed through this, I think we should do a letter or some sort of resolution on in the near future, because quite frankly, there's no excuse that Metro doesn't have a newsletter that people can subscribe to that has the CEO's report for the week. Quite frankly, that's my opinion.
So now let's take a shot on how many people are interested in this idea and perhaps maybe not adopting the formal proposal that they emailed to us, but figuring out or maybe better identifying ways that we can use John or use us here on the leadership team more so we get information that's pertinent to riders and to get that information out there. Okay, how many are in favor?
Okay, so broad interest. I don't need names.
Oh.
It's a straw poll.
Okay, so it looks like I need to get with Ben and get with John and get with some of you all that have been pretty vocal and figure out where to take this next. And I need to wrap my own head around what's the next step. But again, Ben, thank you very much for presenting this to us. Okay, so next the agenda item is RAC Chair Report and AAT Chair Report. For the RAC Chair Report, Lorraine delivered that to the board. Thank you very much for doing that. The board had no questions. So we're going to go on to the AAT Chair Report. Pat?
That was included.
I have the one from March because the April one hadn't been delivered yet.
Right.
So.
Any questions for me concerning the AAC report? Actually, I think you've heard a little of it over the last, over this meeting. The other thing that I think that I could bring to the RAC right now that I think I might be able to share with the RAC is, particularly since the board did ask this question, is at some future date, not too distant in the future, I'd like to be able to talk to the RAC about what the AAC is doing regarding the bus stop survey and share our results with you, so that we can come up with joint recommendations. I think that's a very powerful position to have between the two groups. We've done a lot of work over the last 3 or 4 years, made progress, and there's some good grant money going into the bus stops and updating them so that people can use them. And since the board did ask for RAC and also AAC about that information, being able to deliver them a report in the next couple of months, I think would be good.
Great, Pat, we're definitely going to take you up on that offer. In fact, we wanted to have someone come tonight from out and talk to us about the bus accessibility issue, but we felt that the budget was going to take a good portion of our time. So hopefully next month or soon after.
Okay.
Any questions for Pat? Okay. Here and then, the next agenda item was membership requirements, which we cannot really revisit because, John, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have 2/3. Majority.
Right. So, even there are 19 people on the RAC right now, and so you need.
Okay, so it still stands as we voted on last time. The RAC leadership team, or I, as the chair, will send the members of the board, alerting the board to the two formal vacancy, formal resignations that were submitted, and the one request for a termination of the one member that has not attended or communicated with us. So we'll go ahead and send that out this week. We thought maybe we could take the vote today if we have enough, if we have 2/3 of the RAC present. Next on the agenda item is open mic and community meetings. And I wanted to start this open mic session. And I guess I have 2 points. The first point is, when I spoke to you all in December and also possibly in January, one of the topics I wanted to see us address and the initiative I wanted to see us take on was to be a little bit more engaged with the public. And that didn't necessarily mean just going to hearings or going to community meetings, but that meant also getting the public to come here to our meetings. So I wanted to get suggestions from you all about, we get a lot of good information. I think the 20-minute presentation we received tonight on the sexual harassment campaign is something that some people might be aware of. What can we do to get, and certainly the budget committee, or the budget committee letter, is it appropriate for us to reach out, take more aggressive stance to get more of the public to attend our meetings? And then if so, what ways might we go about that?
I would say actually it's more like the metro pieces about that more public meetings that we attend. I see our role as, you know, representatives of the riders, and that's great, but I think it's more incumbent on metro to do that kind of outreach than us.
Thanks. Stephen, and then
I would just suggest that, I know this is some work involved, but just basic things. If you want to get more people here, you should create a Riders Advisory Council Facebook page, Riders Twitter page, and just whatever sort of cheap, easy, simple social media things. I know there's a lot of people that don't have access to that. Those are hard information, more resources, and I think there are some at least internet ways that we can post what we're doing, we can post the letters, we can ask for suggestions, and at least to do that, it's not going to cost too much in terms of human or financial resources.
Thanks. Frank?
You stole my thunder. but I just want to add to that, you know, it's the only way people know anything about RAC meetings is if they take the steps to go to the website, find the RAC on the website, and find the information. It's not the most accessible, even if you are on the internet regularly. I would also add, though, that there are rider advocacy groups out there, and we could make a list of them that they would receive our information monthly, about what's coming up at meeting. I know I'm connected to one in Greenville, and I know I don't remember to tell them every month on their listserv that, what's going on with us, but if it was institutionalized with all of the wide advocacy, a good number of them, I think it would help.
Frank, Chris, and then
I like what Frank said, and actually go beyond it, perhaps, to invite other advocacy groups to be part of the program, to be given a discrete amount of time to present their public policy positions on the overlapping area between our advocacy on behalf of riders and theirs. And I put up my, I have in the final section of the agenda, I have an offering.
Thanks. Don?
I think it's a great idea, and I'm very probably supportive of it. I think part of the problem with, and Frank's exception, is that everyone who's on the RAC generally works in downtown DC, and not all metro riders are conveniently get here. And so at some point when we want to consider holding a meeting somewhere other than DC, and it doesn't have to be every meeting, it'll be third meeting or a fourth meeting, just so that those people who they get here at sharp at 6:30 to do a public comment can have an opportunity to still talk to us.
I'm feeling a little bad because I had my meeting yesterday, my home time at that time. And I plan to see my supervisor of my home district, maybe I could talk to him and ask him, maybe he agreed to put that announcement to FedEx.com website, the common people from FedEx.com to come out and be part of the restroom.
That'd be great. Any other announcements, or this is our time, any other issues you want to bring up to the RAC? Don?
My major concern is that Metro's capital plans right now, what's funded, what's committed, has a lot of work. It fulfills the requirements of closing out all the NTSB recommendations. But what it doesn't do is increase capacity. There are no new buses, no new rail cars, beyond those that will be replacing the 1,000 series rail cars and needed for the Dallas extension, which are actually paid for by the Silver Line extension through the airport authority. And this is going to be a major issue because, particularly not so much for buses, but for rail cars, from the time you order them to the time you receive them in 3 to 4 years. And as a result, I really, really think that as a rep, we should be studying what the implications of having no new capacity are and advocating within the greater community, not just to the board, the need to find the funding for system expansion, not system expansion, capacity enhancement within the existing system.
A party favor I brought with me today is a one-pager guide to our explanation of what ride-out services are in Montgomery County. I think this is something that distinguishes Montgomery County from its thought that it's frequently compared jurisdictions. And as an occasional user of ride-on and other bus systems, it's a service that is very valuable to Montgomery County and want to make people aware of what's out there. Thank you.
I just want to clarify the longer term issue. One of the $20 million of this fare increase that we're dealing with now, I think, is due to bad budgeting on the part of Metro, in that the stand-up cost for the staffing of the Silver Line was part of this sort of one-time charge that's being attached onto the budget this year. So we're doing that for the first part of the Silver Line. My concern is that in the future, the additions to the Silver Line are going to require a similar one-time charge that's also going to be passed on to riders because it wasn't part of that stand-up budget for the Silver Line. I think that's something that we should ask Metro about. Is that extension of the Silver Line could result in a similar one-time charge? Is the staffing of the second part of the Silver Line that included in the budget for a month?
Okay, so I've actually had, I think, a couple of agenda items right here. Maybe there's a new one to talk about these things that you all commission. Any other comments for open mic announcements? Okay, well, hearing none, the meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all.